Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Hi, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are sponsored by you, but we got something rolling out for the summer. We told people we're going to have big changes, and listen, people. People are always emailing me and putting on Twitter, why don't y'all do it every day during the football season, man? We love it. So listen, this is what we're going to do. If you people go to our website, podbean.com, and click on the Patreon button, and if we can raise $1,200 of donations a month, we will do a podcast every single day. During the football season, you'll get a podcast 5 days a week. You'll get the normal Monday one, and then you'll get four...
That's going to be you and Andrew. I'm definitely not doing a podcast.
It's going to be me. That's the thing. It's going to be unedited, like X-rated. It's going to be me and Andrew's phone calls that we do during the day, where we just ramble about Saints and media and just curse and bitch, even more so than this podcast. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like a 20-minute podcast every single day. But people, you got to donate. Get the donations, $1,200 a month. That's like, for the 5,000 of you people that listen every week, that's like 50 cents. So just donate like $4 a month, and you're good. And just a bunch, if 300 of you people donate $4, that's $1,200. That's all you have to do. And for the people that donate $100 during the football season, Dave, they get to do a co-host, Drunk History, with me. We're going to pull out a raffle. One of you people can get shit-faced and do Drunk History with me, and I know people want to do it because you DM me all the time, Ralph, let me come on Drunk History. I want to talk about X. Well, fuck it. If you donate $100, you get in the raffle, and you can do 2019, your own episode of Drunk History. So get to it. Click on the Patreon button. So anyway, Dave, we're what, 13 days
coming up? Coming up next, Drunk History with my mom.
Hey man, if she wants to do Drunk History like about Jim Mora or some random Jason David, we'll do it. So Drunk History with my mom. That sounds so horrible. So we're like what? Like today's the we're like 11 days or like 9 days away, right, from training camp. What's the date today?
So close. So want to touch the hiney.
So close. Like we've almost made it, and we are previewing the defense and previewing that. So we got some really ridiculousness to talk about. But we're going to talk about, we're doing each position. Andrew couldn't join us because he's in Austin with the snotty liberal people doing fancy pants, Andrew Juge type activities. So we're going to talk about the defensive line, Dave. And here's an interesting thing that you brought up while we were talking before the show is you were talking about the NFL Network or ESPN did like the top rosters for like under 25 players, right? Under 25 years of age players, correct?
Yeah, the best offense and defensive lineups of all players under 25. 43 ESPN NFL insiders voted.
Yeah, and an interesting name for there was...
Well, first of all, Marshawn Lattimore, he made it, obviously, a quarterback.
Obviously.
And kind of surprisingly, actually, Sheldon Rankins made it as defensive tackle. But the ridiculous thing is who they have. But the ridiculous thing is who they have at running back. Who do they have at running back? Tell them.
They better have Kamara at the running back. That's what they better have.
You would think. They have Todd Gurley as... one running back, which
okay.
I didn't even know he was under 25. I thought he would
I did
been
not. In. He's been playing for a while, but he came
I
in really.
I thought he was like 26, 27, so good for him. But they don't have Alvin Kamara on there. They have Mr. Saquon Barkley.
Jesus Christ.
Who you might remember as having just been drafted and never having played a single down in the NFL.
He's in the body issue of ESPN the magazine, though. I got that.
Well, then
right.
Then there you go. Then that's why he's the best running back and second best running back in the NFL under 25.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Listen.
Am I missing something? Is Alvin Kamara 26 years old? I'm not missing something, am I?
No. Saquon Barkley plays for the New York Giants. If he played for anybody else, he wouldn't be on that list. But the interesting thing about that list is, as we segue to defensive line for the Saints that we're going to preview tonight, Sheldon Rankins was on that list, and he's really interesting, Dave, to me, because I feel like people have sort of lumped him in the disappointment category for the Saints because of all the great drafts they've had. You know, the draft last year was awesome. With even if you take out Kamara or Lattimore, if it was just Ramchak and Marcus Williams, that would have been an awesome draft, right? So they had the awesome draft the year before with Michael Thomas, and people sort of have this opinion of Sheldon Rankins that he's not really coming along, he's not really that great. But my thing is, like, defensive linemen usually take a while, and the dude missed half of his rookie year. Like, Cameron Jordan didn't become awesome till year three, right? So I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Sheldon Rankins has the potential to still be really good. I don't know why people have sort of decided that he's just going to be this, like, above-average utility defensive lineman that's great that he can play everywhere, but he's not going to be really that good. I feel like people are...
Well, I mean, he was a first-round pick, and so obviously there are certain expectations that come along with a first-round pick. And, of course, obviously, after Marshawn Lattimore and, you know, and Kamara and rookie seasons like that, the bar has been set pretty high.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I like him a lot, Dave. I think he can be a guy that, not necessarily like maybe the Cam Jordan level where he was last year, where like Cam Jordan was like maybe the best defensive end rusher in football if you prefer advanced metrics and that sort of thing. But I think Rankins can be, I think his ceiling could be Nick Fairley when he had the one good year with the Saints. I don't know if Mark Ingram is your boyfriend, Fairley was like your arch enemy.
Okay, wait, this is all mixed up. This is all wrong. And I saw somebody else asked a question about me and Fairley. I never disliked Fairley as a player, certainly not as a person, but I never disliked Fairley as a player. I thought he was great for the Saints. My whole issue was was the Saints paying him too much and not getting their money's worth. But no, I mean, Fairley as a player, he was great. I would love to have Fairley back. I would love to have a player like Fairley. I think Sheldon Rankins, I think they're different. You know, Sheldon Rankins is a different kind of defensive tackle than Fairley. But, I mean, Fairley, you know, Rankins is quick. He's agile. He's can move. He's athletic. You know, he can play the outside sometimes if he has to. You know, he's definitely got a high ceiling.
Yeah, the defensive line to me, Dave, is the position of the Saints. And last year, let's be real, the Saints had 42 sacks as a team, which is the highest they've ever had under Sean Payton. Like, we fantasized about 40 sacks for the last, like, what, 3 years. We're like, man, if the Saints could get to 40 sacks, they get to 35. That would be just, you know, they got to 40, man. And the thing is, like, Cam Jordan had double digits. Nobody else had even five. So it was really weird that they got to five. But the defensive line, like, I look at it as, like, the optimist would be, like, it's going to be really good. You got Cam Jordan, Rankins in year three. Okafor was really good. He's coming off an injury, but he was really good this year. But there's a lot of, like, I wouldn't say it's bad. It's a lot of unknowns, man. You got a lot of question marks. Can Okafor come back off the injury? Is Davenport going to contribute year one? Is Muhammad going to be anything more than like a camp superstar? You know, is Onyemata going to break out in year three? Like, there's a lot of, like, when you look at the defensive line, I guess my question is, like, what is the biggest thing that you not necessarily worry about, but like the question of like a certain player where you're like, I wonder, like, what's that guy going to be? And he better be good if the Saints are going to be good on defense. Like, what's the guy?
I mean, I have all those questions that you mentioned are totally legit. And I have all those same questions. And you could pick any one of those. I could answer your question by picking any of those questions. Davenport, is he going to be good? Okafor, is he going to come back from injury?
Achilles is tough.
Muhammad, is he going to finally make the next step? David Onyemata, is he going to continue?
That's my boy. David Onyemata. He is my boyfriend. I am committed to him. We are in a monogamous relationship. I am like the PJ Williams truthers last year. I am on the Onyemata train. He is going to wreck shit this year.
Did you give him a promise ring?
I didn't. I gave him the full engagement ring. There's no turning back. I'm not going halfway. I'm all in with Onyemata. He's my guy.
No, but to answer your question, Marcus Davenport, to me, I think that's the big question mark, and I think that's probably the most important thing. I mean, the Saints really invested a lot in this guy. He was kind of a surprise when they picked him, kind of a raw talent. People said when he was first drafted, oh, he's a project, maybe don't expect big things from him in year one. But, as a first-round pick, I don't know, I think you're allowed to expect big things from somebody as a first round pick.
I was looking at his last name is blocking him, but he's the guy on Canal Street Chronicles, Deuce Wyndham, I think. Deuce Wyndham. He does YouTube and he does videos. He does great breakdowns. He did a lot of his video from his college year and the Senior Bowl, and his highlight, it's all over the map. Like, the dude will look like Reggie White, and then he'll just disappear. I think the Saints are going to rush him on. They're going to put him in positions where they're just going to be like, dude, don't worry about anything. Just go sack the quarterback. And I think they're going to put him in positions. I think he can have a season where his stats will be really good, and the Saints fans will love him, Dave, but all the advanced stat nerds are going to hate him. Like, they're going to be like, Davenport, he's got 8 sacks, but have you seen his run support data? His analytics are terrible, man.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they got him. I don't know if they got him.
Yeah, like, we won't.
A run stuffer guy.
No, I mean, like, I could see him being, I could see him people, the to me, the best case for him is he has like 7 to 10, 11 sacks, and there's a fierce argument with people arguing over who's the rookie of the year, and the people that are against Davenport are like, all he has is sacks, he's done nothing else, he had 3 big games, and he kind of disappears all the time, and blah, 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 and us Saints fans are going to be like, I can't hear you, all I see is sacks.
Right? First of all, I think that's probably best case scenario for the Saints next year.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, I think that's best case scenario. I don't really see it getting any better than that. If it was any better than that, then amazing. But yeah, I mean, if you've got Davenport, if you've got somebody like him getting 11 sacks on the other side across Cam Jordan, who hopefully will have 11, 12, 13 sacks again next season, that's 25 sacks between the two.
I might be Dre's. Remember, I have to dress as Freddie Mercury if the defensive line gets to if it gets to 30, I have to dress as Freddie Mercury, I think.
And that, I mean, and that opens things up. I mean, if offensive lines have to now account for both edges, that's going to make things, I think, easier for the guys on the inside. So it's a win-win situation as far as the Saints defense is concerned. So again, that's why I think that's the biggest thing factor. If Davenport, if that's the question that gets answered, and we get a good answer to that question, I think that changes everything for the Saints defense.
Well, I think the biggest question for me besides Davenport is Okafor, because Okafor up to that Washington game, Dave, he was rocking. Like,
I'm not optimistic about it.
Yeah, I mean, he had 4.5 sacks, and he held it down against the run. And their run defense last year was kind of even with him. So, I mean, the thing with him is, like, if he's slow to come around, and Davenport is kind of like just like a pass rush guy, and they're like, hey, you're not an every down guy. then defensive line man, you're like, the defensive end especially, you're starting to like, oh boy, I start to really worry about it. I mean, like, who would be like the next guy up, you know?
At defensive end?
Defensive end, opposite of Jordan.
I don't know. I'm looking at the roster right now. I mean, there are some people on here that I've never even heard of. Henry Mon. I love this. This is the best name on the team, I think. Henry Mondo, but it's spelled like Cajun, to E-A-U-X at the end.
Oh.
I think he's fucking perfect for this team. He has to make the team.
But he's a
D tackle, and so I think the Saints are deeper at D tackle than they are at defensive end, obviously.
I mean, if you, George Johnson, the unicorn.
You're going to have Muhammad, you know. Al-Qadeen Muhammad's going to have to step up. But, yeah, after that, I don't know. Alex Jenkins.
Kikaha.
He's on the roster. Aloe Kikaha.
Kikaha's
technically listed as a defensive end, but, I mean, you know, we're not going to get much from him. We know that.
George Johnson had three sacks for the Saints. They pulled him off the street in December. He's the unicorn.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Trey Hendrickson.
I forgot about him.
This is his year. I mean, I feel like this is make or break for him. I mean, if
the thing is with him is he's an interesting one because he's kind of forgotten about. You know, he was really.
Yeah, we know you just forgot about him.
I did. I totally forgot about him. But he was a guy that was coming on last year. Then he hurt his hamstring and he was never the same. And he tried to gut it through because they were running out of bodies. But he was a guy like that. You know, I joked with Brian Pivek and other people on Twitter. They were like, he's going to, you know, I was like, the over-under on sacks for him was for the year was like, I think it was like 2.5 that he had to get for the year. And they could have, like, controlled my Twitter avatar for a week. And I was like, he's not going to get 2.5 sacks for the year. They're like, he's going to do it. And he didn't. But the thing is, I really liked him at the end of the year. And then he got hurt. Like, and his injury wasn't, like, super severe. He just, like, messed up a hamstring. That can be healed. He was an interesting dude. Not that he'll be like great, but he might be like a dude that you could play and be like, he's okay, he can get you 4 or 5 sacks. Like, he's a guy that I forgot. I forgot about him. I'm feeling a little better about defensive end now.
There you go. Look at that.
Positive attitude. Defensive tackle has got an interesting guy in that Tyler Davidson. This will be year 4, so he'll be a free agent. He's a guy that, like, I don't know, like, part of me is like, of course, you know, he won't have that big a market. He'd be the Saints keep him, but I don't know, man. He's a guy that, like, he's really good against the run, and if he would have a year where he would just, like, accidentally fall into, like, 4 sacks, I could see some team paying him a ridiculous amount of money. I could see, the Saints defensive line, say you get a really good scenario where you have Cam Jordan being Cam Jordan, and let's say you have Davenport get, like, 7 sacks, and the defensive, and Rankins is really good, suddenly Davidson gets single blocking, he doesn't really pass, which is good, but the Saints have killer pass rush. I could see him, he gets 4 sacks, and the team's like, he got 4 sacks against Saints, his pass rush coming on, he's really good against the run. Hey, Tyler, here's $45 million for 5 years, and the Saints are like, no, goodbye. Thanks for playing. You know? Would you say on the defense, where would you rate your most worrisome as far as defensive line, linebacker, secondary, like, where would you rate your most concern for by position? Where would defensive line rate?
I don't know. I like them at defensive tackle. I think they've got a lot more depth at defensive tackle, but really defensive end, like we were just discussing, that's my only concern. So it's really just a question, though, of whether I'm more concerned about the defensive line or the linebackers.
Yeah.
I'm fairly comfortable with cornerback. I'm fairly comfortable with safety. It's tough, man. That is tough. It's pretty, pretty close. I'd say linebacker. I think I might be a little more concerned about linebacker.
I feel like linebacker, they have a lot of dudes that are exactly the same. And, like, they could... Like, last year they had a ton of injuries at linebacker, but Manti Te'o, Anzalone, Klein, they're all the same. They're all, like, average linebackers.
Yeah,
so, like,
all, that's yeah. But, I mean, I guess that's good. I mean, you know what? A whole bunch of average is good, and one guy goes down, the next guy can come up.
Yeah, well, like, defensive line.
You saw that last year. I mean, you know, Manti Te'o didn't play much earlier in the season, but...
he saved their ass in December, though. He really did. He really
somebody
did.
Goes down, he's got to come in. He plays great. So, I mean, that's kind of like the... You know, maybe I'm changing my answer here because I mean that's kind of like the Patriot way. You know, they don't have guys that are amazing, that are highlight guys, that are blue chip guys, that are standout guys. They just got a lot of really good guys that do their job and know their role. So
yeah, I mean
maybe they are better off.
I can't think of the name of the terrible linebacker that the Saints used to always have to. Andrew would know it right off the top of his head, but like that was the point we made. Like the Saints, their roster last year, whenever they had an injury, they didn't plug in like a train wreck at a position where you were like, right. "Oh shit," right. You know. Well, except for Devontae Harris, but that they did that out of choice at the beginning of the year, and against the Rams, they did it because they were injured. But that was the thing. So it's going to be interesting. I feel like they're. I mean, granted, injuries any team you can hit with two, three injuries at key spots and you can be fucked, and that's just football. But I feel like this injury for the Saints, this roster is built to with like I feel like they can withstand it. And hell, last year, Dave, they had shitty injury luck. Like I don't like it can't be any. Well, I hate to say it, but like last. It should be better. Like, they've had a shit ton of injuries in 2016 and 2017. Like, just the pendulum or the odds say that it should swing back and they should be healthier.
Yes, if you believe in karma and all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, not karma. I mean, eventually, like...
Statistically, there is absolutely nothing pointing toward that.
Well, I mean, statistically, like, shouldn't you, like, trend back to the mean? In something like if you have a shit ton of...
There's not... You're talking about injuries. I mean, there's nothing that you can do to control anything that causes or prevents. Well, you can control things that prevent injury.
Well, I wonder, you know, because they tracked it that the Saints were the only team that had in the 12 teams that had the most injuries in the NFL last year. The Saints were the only team that made the playoffs. But the thing that would be interesting would like if you looked at like the last, say, 5 years of the teams that had the most injuries, is any team, like, in there for 5 years in a row? Is any team in there for 3 years in a row? Or does it just track back randomly, like, no team's ever been in the top five for most injuries 3 years in a row. So that statistic tells you, the Saints probably won't have as many. You know, like, I don't know that answer. Like, you're right. Like, you can't control injuries, but, like, if there's a trend, is there, like, because you could argue that the Saints' medical staff is kind of shitty and that's why they have injuries. Like, that. Like if you want to throw that card at me, I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of true.
I would possibly make that argument. Yes, I would.
So, before we get to questions, and before we get to a question that somebody asked last week that we're going to discuss this week, I was fighting with people about Tulane because LSU and Tulane aren't going to play. I said I'm sad that LSU won't be able to humiliate Tulane on a yearly basis now that we won't play baseball anymore. I mean, and people told Tulane, people said LSU, all your accomplishments are in the past, and I was like, come on, Tulane, y'all haven't won nothing ever. Y'all are about to celebrate an undefeated Liberty Bowl team from 20 years ago.
Ah, boy. Oh, my God. so much wrong with this. look, LSU is light years beyond Tulane as far as football is concerned. And we don't need to play in football. I get that. We don't even need to play in basketball. Not many people really care about basketball.
Hey, basketball would be fun, though. They should play in basketball.
Yeah, well, okay, well, hey. Tulane played LSU last season in exhibition, and Tulane won.
They should play again.
You know, Tulane has beaten LSU the last five out of the last six games that they've played each other. I mean, baseball is the one sport where Tulane has been consistently pretty damn good. Now, you know, the Travis Jewett era, the last 2 years, hasn't been, the greatest for Tulane baseball. But, you know, overall, Tulane has been fairly competitive with LSU. I think the overall record is, you know, like LSU's got 180 wins and Tulane is like 140 wins or something like that.
They got to keep playing. They got to keep playing.
I mean, Tulane and LSU, I think Tulane was the first team that LSU ever played back in like the 1800s.
They got to play. The rivalry will die.
They've been playing for like 90 years.
Yes.
It's the one game at Turchin in here in Uptown where the baseball stadium will be packed. You know, when LSU, that's the best game to go to this season. I went this past year, actually. All the LSU fans, you know, they're all high and mighty. You know, they put Tulane down here. You know, LSU's up here and Tulane's down here. And I get that. I totally get that.
Well, here's the thing.
Let's not be ridiculous. In baseball, it's fairly close.
Yeah. I mean, it
is competitive rivalry and it is a competitive series. And you know that.
Well, I mean, LSU has 6 national championships. Tulane has 2 Omaha appearances, so it's not really comparable. But here's the thing that I didn't understand why Tulane people were getting mad at me and LSU people were getting mad at me. My thing is that Tulane and LSU, if we don't play each other, we can't hate each other. Because if you don't play...
Correct.
If you don't
of course, the rivalry is dead. That's what's happened with football. That's what's happened with Tulane LSU football.
It's
stopped playing and it's gone. It's dead. It's today. They don't even...
That's the thing. It's sad. It's sad. Like, people under...
It is sad.
Like, people under 25 are like... No, it's...
Well, not even under 25. Hell, I'm 36 and I went to Tulane and, you know, there was that... The 2-year period, I think... And I think it was after I graduated, like the early 2000s, when Tulane and LSU brought that game back for like 2 years, and of course LSU kicked Tulane's butt and it went away again. But I mean, even me, I went to Tulane from 99 to 03 and we never played LSU, and that rivalry was dead even
and it
back
didn't
then.
It didn't matter that Tulane, you know, they won like once a decade maybe, but it was fun and it was like a huge fucking event. I remember when I was a kid and my dad was like, I got us LSU Tulane tickets for the Dome. I was like, oh my God. You know, and I saw like, Terrence Jones and Mark, you know, it was a big deal. And I feel like that's gone and it never comes back. And I just hate that there's going to be, and I know LSU people are like, Tulane graduates are mostly out of state anyway. Man, if they don't have baseball.
That's true.
If they don't have baseball, you have nothing, and then it's just it just totally fades away, and it sucks. And I can tell you firsthand experience, Texas A&M used to play Texas every year in football. They moved to the SEC. That rivalry is dead. The two families is just yak at each other. But that's no fun if you can't play on the field. You don't get bragging rights, so it's just lame as fuck. And that's what Tulane and LSU is going to be, and it makes me sad, but I didn't appreciate all the Tulane people saying nasty things to me.
Well, the one thing I'll say about my Tulane family, you know, we've been mistreated for a long time, and we've got an inferiority complex.
Need to get a good baseball coach. It's fun. Baseball is funner when y'all are good.
We had one, and he up and left and went to Texas because he was so damn good.
Well, yeah. He was like Texas's fourth choice too. Too bad Texas couldn't.
Well,
couldn't. Have, they wouldn't. They botched the hire like 3 times.
But the game should be coming back again in 2020. Now the issue I have with that is that what we're hearing is that it's going to come back as the Pontiff Classic, which I think would be played at Zephyr Stadium, Zephyr Field, the Shrine on Airline. And it's not even going to – I don't even know if it's going to be a 1-1. And I don't even know if Tulane's going to get LSU back in Turchin on campus. And that's the most upsetting part to me.
Yeah, I mean – but
this rivalry resumes, as they're saying, in 2020 – is it going to go back to what it was, and is it going to be uptown, or is it going to be in – because that's lame if it's in church.
And the last thing I'll say about this is where I feel like some LSU fans are being hypocritical. They're like, Tulane jacks up the price when LSU plays. Dude, LSU has 9 different ticket tier prices for football, all right? You know, Alabama's the gold ticket, and they charge X, and they – think they let you in free when they play ULL. So LSU fans, don't get on Tulane for jacking the price up when LSU plays. Everybody fucking does that. It's called I don't know, tier pricing or whatever the fuck it is. So, but it is. It makes me sad. So,
well, the last thing I'll say about Tulane and Tulane athletics in general is that I am friendly with Troy Dannon, the athletic director. I'm on a first name basis with him, and if this was his decision, I trust him. I think so far he's made a lot of good decisions for Tulane athletics, and he has been steering them in the right direction. And you know, whatever the reasoning behind this, you know, I know it had to do with television and contracts and all that kind of stuff, but you know, if he was the one that said no to this, then I'm just going to trust him. And I think Tulane athletics is heading has a brighter future than they've had in the past 20 years or so.
That's the longest Tulane LSU talk we've ever had on this podcast. That's why we're 9 days away from the season.
But and we need probably the most Tulane talk we've ever
yeah,
had.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fine. So look, people ask questions. We got a bunch of fun Twitter questions, but somebody asked this last week. I don't remember who it was, so I apologize. But here's the thing. Somebody asked, because Brandon Browner got arrested for kidnapping, high-speed chase, yada, yada, yada. So somebody asked, who was the better Saints defensive captain, Junior Gallette or Brandon Browner? And I was like, they weren't both defensive. Yeah. Oh, and I was like, oh, yeah, they were. They were both defensive captains. So, Dave, who was the better Saints defensive captain, Junior Gallette or Brandon Browner?
Well, I mean, they're both technically, I think they may both be criminals. Well, you know, I innocent until proven guilty, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know. I you know, if you wanted a real, true, genuine answer to this question, I think it would depend on how they acted in the locker room and, you know, how they interacted with their teammates and all that. But I don't. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I guess Junior Gallette. I don't know. I guess Junior Gallette.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I don't know, man. Brandon Browner, dude. They had the play where the guy ran past him and he lit up a Saints player tackling him.
Oh, I remember that.
Like in the Washington game, like the running back was past him and he just blew up a Saints dude. Granted, it was probably the best tackle he made as a Saint.
Oh, but my God, I remember that. I mean, totally forgot about that.
I mean, it's... I guess I would say, like, on... Like, but see, Junior Gallette had the one good year they made him. Did he have one good year where they made him when he was captain? Brandon Brennan was just shit all around. But God, I mean,
I don't know. I just, you know, I don't know if I don't know. I think fans never got attached to Brandon Browner, of course, because of how he played, and fans hated him. And I guess maybe because of that, you know, Brandon Browner never really seemed to give a shit about New Orleans and being in New Orleans and playing for this team. You know, he seemed like he could give a shit less, to be quite honest with you.
Well, and he was just, I mean, they tried to get him the year before and he played for the New England and he won a title, but the thing with Brandon Browner, the one thing I will say about him is he got hurt the 1 year he's with the Saints. He got hurt in that preseason game and they carted him off. And he played the whole year with the hurt knee. And, like, he was a guy where, like, he was old. And, like, he was probably, like, his physical skills were such that, like, he could not play hurt and still be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, some guy, if you're young or whatever, you can get by with it. Like, Brandon Brown, it wasn't happening. And, but he did fight media members, which we liked. You know? So I guess that shows leader.
That's good leading by example.
Leading by example, wanting to whoop a media member's ass. All right. So we got through that. So I got to get to these questions because we got quite a few because I asked for ridiculous ones. You can only have one, Dave. Oh, this is from me. This is from Cajun Alaskan. You can only have one. Which do you choose? USA wins the World Cup in 2026 at home, or Astros win another World Series title in your lifetime? Here's the thing, Cajun Alaskan, that I want the Astros to win another World Series because my wife, she had to watch game... She had to watch game 7 of the Astros-Dodgers from the hospital because her brother was getting, like, emergency surgery for, like, a blocked nasal thing. So she had to watch in the, like, waiting room or his hospital room on the TV, and I was home by myself. So I would like to have her enjoy the Astros winning a World Series not at the hospital. And the World Cup doesn't mean that
so
much to me.
Sweet.
It's so romantic, right?
Aw, what a guy you are. Husband of the year here.
Yeah.
Aw.
Now
go fuck yourself. That's selfish. And the USA should win the World Cup at home, you fucking asshole.
Did you watch 5 minutes of the World Cup, Dave?
I literally watched exactly 5 minutes. I was at a hotel in Atlanta this weekend. I was at the Ritz-Carlton in downtown Atlanta having brunch by myself, and it happened to be on the TV. So I did watch a little bit of it.
This is from Brian, Dave.
By the way, I was in Atlanta this weekend, and I met one woman on the tram in the airport who, you know, I was wearing my Saints shirt on Sunday, the day I left. I had one woman on the tram in the airport who noticed my shirt and started chatting me up, and she was from uptown. She said she's a crazy Saints fan. I had a woman at the Ritz-Carlton who said, "Who dat?" to me, and I was like, "Where am I?" I was like, "This is Atlanta?"
No, they got a lot of Atlanta people, man, post-Katrina.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that. So I was actually very surprised. Like, I was getting a lot of Saints love in the middle of downtown Atlanta, 10 blocks from the stadium.
My favorite thing about Saints fans is that the Saints are more popular, obviously, with Drew Brees and winning the Super Bowl and all that, but we still acknowledge each other. Like, if you're at the supermarket or whatever, and they see me with my Saints shirt or a Saints hat or whatever, they're just like, "Yeah, Saints, give me finger guns or whatever."
Yeah, so, it's different when you live somewhere else that's not New Orleans. Obviously, you can't go around high-fiving everybody in Saints gear when you're in New Orleans because your arm would get tired. But, if you're in a foreign city, it's always a sight for sore eyes, I'm sure, to see another Saints fan.
I will say this. When I was in Disney World, I wanted to take a picture, but it was raining, so I didn't get out my phone. They had a dude. He was wearing a Norman Hand jersey, and he had the old starter Saints cap with New Orleans Saints in script.
Wow!
He was rocking it at the Animal Kingdom in the rain, and I was like, "You are my hero, man."
That's old school.
That is old. It was old school Saints to the max. When it was pouring that rain, but I wanted. I think if I would have taken a picture of him on Twitter, it probably would have been like my most shared tweet I ever did. I should have done it. So, Dave, this is from Brian. This is a question for you. With Fairley gone, who is the Saints player that you are going to irrationally hate the most this year?
Again. I've already mentioned this earlier. I didn't irrationally hate Fairley as a player. I irrationally hated the Saints front office for their decision to pay him when they shouldn't have. Who am I going to irrationally hate? I mean, therefore, I shouldn't even have to answer the question because the question is null and void. It just doesn't make sense. But I'll come up with somebody anyway. Who am I going to irrationally hate? I hope it's not Marcus Davenport. Patrick Robinson. Totally.
Oh,
Patrick
that's a good
Robinson.
Choice. That's
Fuck
a good
that dude. That's dude, a good... I'm still bitter.
That's a good dude because he might have had like a one. He might have been like a one hit wonder and cashed it in for the Eagles. Oh, that's a good choice. I would say I was thinking of you would irrationally hate somebody that plays a lot that shouldn't be playing a lot. Like Brandon Coleman, if they had a lot of injuries at wide receiver, you'd hate him, even though you know you shouldn't, but you'd be like hating him on your TV every single week because Thomas and so-and-so and so-and-so was hurt. I would say my choice, though, is going to be Terrence West the first 4 weeks of the year if he's getting a lot of carries. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling he may be terrible. And we may be hating on him, counting the days until Ingram gets back. This is a good question from Turbo. Who's the first Saints to score a touchdown this season?
Ooh, that's a good one. gonna go with I'm gonna go out of the box. I'm gonna say Cam Jordan.
That's way out of the box. I was gonna go. I'm gonna go Ben Watson.
Watson.
This
How
is,
do we not have that sound clip?
Yeah,
yet?
I know. We need to get that one. Since Boston Scott is the next Jamal Mullewis, what is Muhammad? Muhammad's really, he's really interesting in that he was really good, and I feel like if Okafor hadn't have been so good, he might have got playing time. He's gonna be interesting because I feel like they're gonna be really slow with Okafor and sort of pace him. I think Muhammad might get some playing. This is an interesting question from Don Takano, who, by the way, Don Takano did a montage from Super Tecmo Bowl of the 1993 Saints, where you had like Wade Wilson throwing touchdown passes and Brad Muster scoring touchdowns. Don, that was your Mona Lisa. Like, you'll never top that. I appreciated it. What is your most embarrassing water park experience?
I don't think I've gotten to water parks enough to have an embarrassing experience. I hate to be disappointing here, but. I mean, besides, like, am I just supposed to say, you know, my bathing suit falling off when I slide down a slide?
You know,
I mean,
what
else is there?
You know what was embarrassing for me?
Or I guess peeing in the lazy river or something?
No, I had an embarrassing experience where when I was a kid, I don't know what kind of ride you call it, but it was basically like a ride where you like carried up this board to the top, and it was like had these little rollers, and you went down on the rollers, and when you came off, you like skimmed across the pool, right? And mm-hmm. you had to carry the board to the top, and I carried the board to the top, and I waited like 45 minutes in line, and when I got to the time to go, the dude was like, "There's a crack in the bottom of your board, you can't go," and I had to.
That's not embarrassing. That's just you're an idiot.
Yeah, and I didn't notice it. I was like 9, you know. I didn't notice on the bottom of the floor. And I just had to. I had to walk all the way back to the bottom and get another board. I don't know if you call it.
And then wait another 45.
Yeah, minutes. I don't know if you call it embarrassing or what. Let's see. How does Adam?
I feel like whoever asked that question. Probably just had an embarrassing incident at a water park, and he's asking us because he wants us to try and make him feel better.
Well, Don, if I know Don, he's probably at a water park in California high as a motherfucking kite, and he was probably wandering around confused or drunk, which I don't blame him. I would be too.
Wait, are these all facts that we know about Don, that he likes to smoke pot, and then he also likes to spend
time at
the water park?
I think that's fair to this. If you follow Don on the Twitters, which I do, and you see his tweets, I think that's a fair assumption.
How do we not have him on the podcast? Yes.
We might. Me and Don are working out. Working out either a drunk history for the fall this year or early next year. We just have to hash out
It sounds like Don wants to do a baked drunk history.
It's all right. We drunk and baked. Half-baked Saints history when Texas legalizes pot. Predict the dumbest fan theory overreaction to come out of camp.
God. The dumbest fan theory overreaction.
I've got it.
I don't know.
Brandon
Coleman's going to be good. I don't
know. No, I think it's going to be bad. I think what the biggest overreaction is, look, we know the starters
something,
aren't
going to play. Something Taysom Hill? Something
no, the starters aren't going to play that much on defense, right? They're probably only going to play like a half in the third game or whatever. I think Marcus Williams is going to have like one bad play in the preseason, and people are going to be like, his whole career's ruined. The Minnesota game has ruined him.
He's got the yips,
and it's going to just be one bad tackle or whatever, and people are going to just jump off the, he's going to be great this year. They're going to just panic and say he's terrible. They're going to want him cut. Like, that's going to be my prediction for overrated.
Well, then I'll say the opposite. He's going to come into training camp, and he's going to play awesome, And people are going to think he's going to be the greatest safety in the league because he's, you know, worked so hard to get back after being embarrassed.
He's going to be, I think he's going to be really good. But here's is Sean Payton's brother responsible for the curse on Junior Gallette?
Tom Payton.
Tom Payton.
The magician.
The magician.
If he might be.
If he is, it'd be his greatest accomplishment, Alexander. let's see. When, Preston Ellis, when will you eat Papa John's? Preston, I have self-respect. I don't eat Papa John's. Even before he was dropping N-bombs in trainings on how not to drop the N-bomb. Which, I mean, seriously.
You can't write this shit. I mean, that's like a South Park episode.
Like, they were, like, doing training with him on, like, how to not be an asshole and not be racist. And he was racist during the training on not to be racist. So, I will say this about Papa John's. I really like their breadsticks, but I haven't eaten Papa John's in years because their pizza is trash.
I mean, the only good thing that Papa John's does is the garlic
that
comes with the pizza. That's the best part.
Can you buy it, like, and just...
I don't know.
If you could buy it in a... That would be good. Have the
I don't know why every other pizza chain in the America hasn't started doing that after seeing Papa John's.
Yeah, it's that. Like... It
makes
like
zero sense to me. Like, Papa John, the one thing they did was, you know, people thought pizza was as good as it gets. You can't reinvent the wheel. Well, Papa John's reinvented the wheel, and they said, no, we're going to give you garlic sauce. And everybody else should have been like, oh, yeah, we got to start doing garlic sauce.
Yeah, it's like Quiznos was one of the first Subway chain, I think, to have, like, the oven where they toast the bread. And it was really popular, and Subway was like, fuck that shit, we're going to do that, too. And now, Quiznos is out of business.
I mean, there's no denying what's good and what's awesome, so I just don't understand it.
I mean, Papa John's pizza is like I haven't paid for it in a year, but it's like a C-minus pizza, but the garlic sauce makes it like a whole grade higher. So that...
And the pepperoncini, actually. I can't believe I even like that pepperoncini.
I gotta barbecue your ass, the molasses!
Doesn't have to do with anything. I just like playing that. I like playing that soundbite. So that wraps up the podcast. I'll try to. Oh, find us on the Facebook and the Twitters and the LinkedIn and not LinkedIn. Fuck, that's for people that don't have jobs. We might need a LinkedIn. We could have a Saints Happy Hour podcast. We could have a LinkedIn page. We could have jobs for people when we can't pay them. the YouTube, the Twitters,
find
and the Facebook.
Tinder.
Tinder. Grindr.
Find us on Bumble.
Hey, man, you got to WhatsApp. You got to have them all, right? Go to all the searches for the social media Saints Happy Hour podcast. And look, go to our page and become a patron. Donate. If we get to $1,200 a month, by September 1st, we will do a podcast every single day helping you with fantasy. Me and Andrew will be cursing. It'll be fantastic. It'll be mediocre audio. And you'll have something on your drive to work or at home every single day. You want it? Hey. That about wraps it up, Dave. I mean, we're like next.
This is good. Who needs Juge?
We don't need Juge. Next week, man, we got next week, and then the following week, boom, we're into it. We're having it. We're counting down to games. I can't.
Oh my God!
I can't believe it. And by the way, next week I will tell people when I am booking for Saints home games. Maybe people can buy me a drink, take me to dinner. Until next week, the bar is closed.